Mark chapter 8 this morning, Mark chapter 8. And I want to apologize for making us so late today. It's my fault. I got carried away in Bible class and should have shut her down and picked it up next week. But anyway, I'll try to make up a little bit of difference here during the time. Again, it's good to have all the visitors with us, but I still like old regulars. Amen. I tell my wife, she makes special dishes every once in a while, but I still like brown beans and cornbread, fried potatoes and onion. I like that. Amen. So I appreciate everybody being here, but I'm thankful God's here. Amen. That's who I'm thankful is here. I want to, if you guys go ahead right ahead and pop that stuff up on the wall, if you're going to care, I want to welcome everybody online. Thank you for being with us today. And I want to preach on something that God's been dealing with me about that I began to see is a serious problem in America. And I'll tell you, the only hope we have is God and His Word. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm excited about serving God. I'm thankful for the Lord. Now, Mark chapter 8, Jesus is speaking. When you get up to about verse number 34, Jesus there speaking there, and he talks about taking up our cross and following Him. And that's not very popular today either. And nobody wants to pick up his cross and follow. But anyway, it gets down into verse 38. And this is what I want to preach on, try to keep cutting things here. Verse 38 says, "Whosoever," now this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me," and I want you to get this very carefully, "and my words." Two things that Jesus said, if you were ashamed of in this adulterous and sinful generation, I believe that describes our generation. Amen. In this adulterous, by the way, nothing's new. That was the way it was in Jesus' time. He's speaking at present time there. He said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also, that person who is ashamed of Christ and his words, shall the Son of Man, that's Christ, be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, I'm going to say right off the start this morning that I do not know the entire implications of what it means for him to be ashamed of me when he comes, but I know it's not good. I think it's pretty deep. Jesus said, if we deny him, what? He'll deny us. Pretty strong language. When I was in school and in junior high and high school, they had a Bible club at our school. Some folks, missionary folks, had Bible club about once a month. I think it was on a Thursday at noon, and you go down there at noon. And there was maybe three, four, five at the most people would come down to the Bible club. And the people that were running it were friends of mine. And they, of course, said, Reggie, you got to come down to Bible club. Well, just be honest with you, Reggie was ashamed of Jesus Christ and his word. And I used to try to fix it up, so I didn't want to not show up, Ralph. I was kind of ashamed not to show up. But it's also a shame to be seen going to it. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you something. Some of you kids think that I'm an old timer and don't know nothing, but I was young once too. And I have dealt with the flesh battles and so forth, just like you. Hey, don't think your grandma wasn't 16 once. Right. Don't ever get that in your head that they don't know what you're thinking, what you're being tested and tried with and so forth. But I can remember so vividly, Danny, being ashamed to go to Bible club, thought what my buddies in school might think about it. Van didn't have that problem. God gave him grace. He was stood for the Lord in school and did a great job in Bible club. In fact, I think, Van, your senior year, wasn't there 50 or 60 kids got up that high a number of kids there in Bible club? A lot of difference there. And I don't know why God gave him the grace that, and I'm not blaming God. I just, maybe I didn't want the grace probably, okay? But I remember being ashamed. Now, we're going to talk about this being ashamed of Christ and what it means to this church, what it means to your family, our individuals, and so forth. But before we do that, I want to look at some things that, if we want to take off fellows there in Genesis, that we ought to be ashamed of. We're living in a time when people are proud of things they should be ashamed of and ashamed of things they should be proud of. All right? Now, in fact, if it is, your Sodomite movement talks about the pride movement. Pride, pride, pride. Whoa, boy, if you study your Bible, that's all that was ever connected to. But in Genesis chapter 3, when the fall, the Bible, if you don't pick it up maybe so much in words here, but you see the principle. And when the woman saw that the tree was good food and that it was pleasant, the eyes of the tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, gave her husband with her and he did eat. Eyes of both of them were opened. They knew that they were naked, sewed feebly together and made themselves naked. Their eyes opened. They knew they was naked. What'd they do? And the Bible said, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know what the deal was? They were ashamed of their nakedness. The first thing you need to learn about, you ought to be ashamed of nakedness. You ought to be ashamed of nakedness, and I'm not going to go into detail all that encompasses, but it encompasses a lot of things. By the way, you can have a dress on down to your ankles and expose nakedness. Yes, sir. The first thing ought to be ashamed of nakedness. Guys, Exodus chapter 22 and 32 and verse number 25. Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Let me just say there's some things we ought to be ashamed of. Now, Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed of me and my word. But the Bible also said there's some things we ought to be ashamed of. Hey, kids, listen to me. It's a shame to be naked. I'm going to tell you something. I did not, when he was growing up, I did not want my boys seeing their sisters naked. I did not want their sisters seeing them naked. I did not want my children seeing me naked. Amen. I don't think you ought to walk around the house with your underwear on in front of your kids. That's how much I think about it. Amen. I think you ought to teach modesty to the extreme in your children. Amen. I'm telling you right now, kids, don't you let people see you naked. You understand me? I'm telling you, I could jump on a wagon on this thing. It's just all over this country. Nakedness is used to sell everything, to break people's faith down. Look at Job 8, verse number 22. And they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame. You ought to be ashamed of hating God. Amen. You ought to be ashamed of opposing God. Let's keep trucking. Proverbs 3, verse 35. The Bible teaches the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Don't be a fool. I'll tell you, God said it's a shame to be a fool. It's a shame to be a fool. Watch this. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. It ought to be a shame to be an atheist. You ought to be ashamed not to believe God. There's things you ought to be ashamed of. Let's go to the next one. Oh, you're going to like this one. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. If you're lazy, you ought to be ashamed of it. If you won't work, you ought to be ashamed of not working. Amen. I'm talking about there's things you ought to be ashamed of. Now, also have a happy time in church today. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you, half America ain't working. Do you know why they can't? You know why they can't fill jobs? Because people got them checks and they don't have to go to work. They're turning you into a socialist. Yes. Making you dependent upon the government. Yes. Guys are telling employees, I bet you anything, Timmy, Kenny, you've got people you can't get to work because they wash you out of work as long as I get money from the government. God says, if you're lazy, it's a shame. Now, I'm going to say this, just get it off my chest. I tell all the boys that attend this church, you ought to learn how to run a chainsaw, amen. You ought to learn how to swing an axe. You ought to learn how to swing a splitting maul, amen. You ought to go look for somebody to haul hay for free. You ought to have to work for Don Zinn for free. Make a man out of you, amen. I'm sick of this sissy business. I'll tell you right now, you say, well, now I'll tell you about these transgenders. They need somebody to whip their rear end and put them to work in a garden, amen. They'll quit being a sissy. They'll find out real quick who they are. Oh, my goodness. Look at the next thing here. Being lazy, you ought to be ashamed of it. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride cometh, then comes shame. If we get proud of ourselves and proud about things, we ought to be ashamed of our pride. Pride before destruction. The next thing is in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 5. The righteous man hateth lying, but wicked men loathsome and cometh to shame. God says it ought to be ashamed to a man to be wicked and live wicked life. Let's go to the next thing. Proverbs 13, verse number 18. I'm going to show you something God says you ought to be ashamed of. The Bible said there in verse number 18, is it verse number 18? Poverty and shame shall be in him that refuseth instructions, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Let me just tell you something. If you refuse reproof from your mom and daddy, you refuse reproof from the preacher, you refuse proof from those in authority over you, God says you ought to be ashamed of having that kind of attitude. I never will forget one time, but bless it to me, I wasn't there, didn't see it, but my sons were raking hay over here in a big hay field we had. And I don't know where I was at. I was probably looking at cattle or doing something. Who knows what? But anyway, I left the boys there raking, and my dad was going to go bail hay. And one of my sons, he was raking hay, and at the corners, got to raking up them big mounds. How many knows that don't work? Well, my dad, he got on to my boy. I want to tell you something. I didn't get mad at my dad for getting on to my son. I knew my dad good real well. And if he had got on to him, he probably needed getting on to. Amen. Don't get your puffies up because somebody says something a little bit rebuke to your child. They might just need it. Amen. But anyway, my son talked to me about it later. And he said this, said, Daddy, said, I just remembered that verse. Said, a reproof enters into the heart of a wise man more than 100 stripes into the back of a fool. And it helped him to be able to accept the reproof that my dad was trying to give him. Need to rake the hay ride. Amen. You'll change your mind when you get on the baler. Amen. But anyway, the next thing here, Proverbs 17, verse number 2. Wise servants shall have rule over son that causes shame. That means that your dad's employee is going to wind up with it if you don't straighten up. That's foolish. That's shameful. And if you cause shame to your, you cause shame in your family, God says a servant will wind up with it. Now, let's look at the next thing. Watch this one here, Proverbs 18, 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Boy, I'll tell you, that's the truth. How many ever did that? You heard the story and you got all hot and bothered about it, and then the next thing you know, you found out you didn't hear all the story. You didn't hear both sides of it. God said, that's shame. You don't just listen to one thing, listen to the whole thing. How many would like to go to a courtroom where somebody, they just let one side tell the story? Oh, we ain't going to get to tell ours. I know, of course. I know of judges. I've dealt with people who came to me and said, Reggie, we were in court and the judge wouldn't even let us talk. He wouldn't let us say, give our side of the story. That's a shame. It's a shame not to, it's a shame you do that. And then we got Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 26. He that wasteth his father and chasteth away his mother, the son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. I'll tell you something. Y'all take care of your mom and daddy. Amen. I'm to the age where that gets interesting to me. Amen. I'll tell you what, I got a brother over here who takes care of his mother. I'll tell you right now, if there's anything in my life made me respect him, it's how he takes care of our mother. I'll tell you, God bless you, Van. I know you don't like me talking about you in the pulpit, but I'm talking straight about you today. I appreciate it. I'm your brother. I'll tell you right now, and I see Danny, your daughter coming down every once in a while and staying with you and stuff, and I tell you, she's taking care of her daddy, kind of interested in her daddy, you know. Now, I know you have lives to live, but don't ever get that away. Well, then, Proverbs 25, verse number 8, it says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. He said, don't get into striving and arguments and fussing and so forth there and just be in haste about it. Try to have peace if you can. Don't be quick to get angry and so forth. And here's an interesting one in Proverbs 25, 9 and 10. Proverbs 25, 9, debate thy cause with another and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth thee put it to shame and thine infamy turn not away. Don't be telling secrets. If somebody told you that's a secret, keep it a secret. If you go around telling, oh, did you hear what I heard? Did you hear what? I won't tell you a secret. That's a shame. That's a shame. Well, isn't the Bible wonderful? I'll show you another in Proverbs 29, 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame. It's all over America now. Sad part about it is mamas ain't got no shame. Mamas, you know what they want to do? They don't accuse the police. They want, oh, the police. No, defund the police, all that kind of stuff. But the police's fault, and it's the judge's fault, and it's the teacher's fault, and it's the principal's fault, and it's everybody's fault. Nah, it's your fault, mama. You didn't whoop his rear end. You didn't make him mind, amen. Well, anyway, here's another one in Isaiah 30, verses 1 through 5. Trusting, this is big. Did I miss one, fellas? Isaiah 30, 1 through 5. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take the counsel, but not of me, and that covereth of the covering, but not of my spirit, that may add sin to sin. That they go down, watch this now, that walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. You know what God's talking about there? God's saying it's a shame for you to go anywhere else but to him for wisdom and instruction. God said, it's a shame that you go to some shrink. It's a shame that you go to some philosopher. It's a shame that you go to the world and ask for their wisdom and reject the wisdom of God. Well, then we'll get on down here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. He tells Israel here that it's a shame that they forgot God. He said, perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. But God goes on there and talks about how it's a shame that they forgot him. And now let's go into the New Testament now. Luke chapter 14, verse number 7 and 10. And I so appreciate these boys doing such a great job of keeping the word up. And by the way, let me say something to anybody that's listening, or if you're out here today, I'm not trying to keep you out of your Bible. You ought to chase this, write them down, mark them down, do your own study. I'm just trying to keep trucking and to keep our focus on the Word of God. It's not to not, you bring your Bible. You don't bring your Bible, I'll run back here and stand on top of the pew on top of you and say, get you bring your Bible, church, amen. How are you going to know if I'm preaching the truth if you don't bring your Bible? All right, now, here's in Luke chapter 14, Jesus says something right here. He said, he put forth a parable that were bidden unto him, marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden to any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden. And he that bid thee come and say unto thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Here's the simplicity of it. God is saying, if you try to exalt yourself and promote yourself, that's a shame. And it's foolishness. You need to take the back seat. You need to take the low seat. I'm going to tell you something. This, you listen to you visitors, you people watching. There's a reason I don't have seats up here on the platform. I don't want us on this platform business. You don't see me sitting up here with my legs crossed looking at you like God Almighty during the singing. I sit no better. I'm up here singing. I'm going to worship God. I'm not going to sit up here like a rooster. Like I'm somebody. Like I'm somewhat. I want to tell you, I don't want no chief seats in this church. Now, the front rows, they don't cost anything. When you get back where Tom is at, those are $25 a piece. They're higher as you go back. The farther back you sit, the more they cost you. Amen. But there is no chief seats in this church.
Amen.
The ground's level at the cross. Anyway, let's go to the next one. We talked about this morning. I'm not going to dwell on this long, but God said it's a shame to go before unbelievers in the law. If you're Christian people together and you go before the law in a lawsuit, God said that's a shame that you can't even settle that thing between yourselves. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. Hang on to your hats now. Hang on to your hats. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're Bible. How many knows this? A King James authorized, preserved, eternal word of God. I'm preaching at you right here. All right, that's what it is. That ain't Reggie's opinion. Are you listening to me? For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for women to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Shame for women to be shorn or shaven. This week I drove into Mount Grove. I try not to go over once a week anywhere. I'm serious with you. Drove into Mount Grove, pulled into a place to go and swing by to get something to eat. This human being crossed the road in front of me and I said, something don't look right here. The face looked like a woman. She had a butch haircut. It was a woman, no matter what she thinks.
Right.
And you know what I said to myself? That's a shame right there.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I lived in shame from about 17 years of age till about 27 years of age. I'll show you why next. 1 Corinthians 11:4. Did I say 11? Yeah, 11:14, I'm sorry. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
When I married Karen, I had hair down my shoulders. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of my wedding pictures. I didn't write the book. I don't write the standards. But I'm going to tell you, part of it is God wants women to look like women and men to look like men. And God said a woman's hair is her glory. Amen. And you know what the devil does? When you shave that off, he's shaving your glory off. And God says it's a shame. If God says it's a shame, it is a shame. Let's look at some more. We're having fun to church now. 1 Corinthians 14. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted them to speak, for they're commanded to be under business. That's all say so, as saith the law. If they'll learn anything, let them ask their husband. No, I want to give you something good this morning. Did you know, if they, the women, will learn anything, let them ask the preacher.
No.
Biggest mistake women make is asking the preacher something.
Yeah.
Ask your husband. You know why husbands get alienated from church? Because I talk to the preacher. You're nothing, honey. You're nothing. You don't know nothing. Ladies, that's stupid. It's a shame. Look what it says here. If they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands. Where? Don't lean over and say, honey, what do you think at church? Don't do that. He may not know. Amen. Don't embarrass him. Hey, there's truth in that. Your husband, the biggest need he has for you is to be reverenced. And when you start being irreverent to your husband, you're fixing to have a storm come through your family.
Yeah.
You don't embarrass your wife in front of other people. You don't embarrass your husband in front of other people. I'm trying to save your marriage.
Yeah.
But here's what it says. Watch this. I know the world don't believe this. Churches don't believe this. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. That'll thin them out, amen. Joyce Myers. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, I guess let's just go home. That's enough for anybody for one day. Amen.
I'll throw you out.
Oh, I know you think your ancestors, men, the men that founded this country and set up the laws, are a bunch of male chauvinist pigs. They didn't let their wife vote. You know why your ancestors didn't have women voting? Because it was representative. The home was what the government was in the Bible, a representative republic. The husband was the head of the house. It wasn't that the wife didn't have influence. Can I tell you something? The average man, if his wife says, honey, let's don't vote for that guy. He ain't voting for her. I'll show you how tough men are. I auctioned for 40 some years. I'm out there selling a tractor. Biggity buggity biggity bell. I mean, we're selling that tractor. And boy, we're getting up at the top. And that guy says, and he stops. And then he looks over at his wife. Where you at, Karen? And he looks over at his wife and he kind of like, you know, honey, can I bid anymore or not? That's what he's doing. And Danny, you know I'm telling the truth. If she goes, he looks up and says, no. If she says, yeah, it's the truth. It's the honest truth. I'm telling you. And the men said, I'm the representative. I'm the priest of the home. I'm representing my family. The wife was getting to vote all along. It was the rebellious ones who didn't want to live with their husbands. Amen. I know that's popular preaching. There'll be half of you gone next week. Amen. Anyway, let's get on. Got to get on down the road. Let me give you one to shame. We like to talk about these. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 34. Awake to righteous, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He's writing to the church. I speak this to your shame. He said, you mean to tell me that you got a church in the middle of the Ozarks here, and the people of the Ozarks don't know the knowledge of the truth? You've been having church every Sunday. You sit inside them walls, and you don't get the word of God out in your community. That's a stinking shame. Amen. A church ought to have put out the knowledge of God.
Amen.
God will bless that, by the way.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Anyway, let's get on down. Ephesians 5:12. This is a tough one. For it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done in them in secret, talking about all the vileness of wisdom. You know what's a shame? Is that we have to preach on what we have to preach on today.
Yeah.
That our kids have to hear it preached on. That a kid has to get home and say, what was preacher talking about there today, mama?
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Ephesians or Philippians 3:18. The Bible talks that the enemies of the cross are, they ought to be ashamed of being the enemies of the cross. And anyway, I'm kind of like there. Verse 19, whose glory is their shame. Yeah. I'm telling you what, folks, listen, this country's glorying in its filth and its vileness. And God said it's their shame. Well, let's go to Jude 13. Jude 13, it says there in that verse, raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom reserved the darkness of darkness forever. And so foaming out their own shame. And that's what's happening in America right now. So the shame is just foaming out of this country. And then Revelation 3:18, I want to give you this, and then we're going to look at some other scriptures. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire. Now he's speaking to the professing church of Laodicea, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Now remember our first verse, Genesis 3, naked. Here's the last one. God ends with the same thing. That thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And here's what he's talking about, is being naked spiritually. That you're unclothed with the righteousness of Christ. And I'll tell you, it's a shame. God says it's a shame. All right, now we're going to look now at the principle of Scripture about not being ashamed. All right, guys, can we go to Psalms chapter 25? And again, you're doing a tremendous job, and I so much appreciate it. Psalms 25. Now, here's what I want you to pick up. We're going to move through this fast, but I want you to pick up something. How many has ever heard of a man named David?
Yes.
And although he sinned, I'm telling you what God said about that man in the New Testament. He said he's a man after his own heart. And it wasn't because David, he didn't think anything about David's sin. He punished David. He chastised David worse than anybody in this building has been punished and chastised. But here was David's secret, is that David was honest about his sin, repented of his sin. I mean, he shelled it out. He agreed with God. He didn't try to justify it, rationalize it, and all that kind of stuff. And David was not, watch me, in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, he was not ashamed of the Savior. Now, I want to say something just to inject here. Every Christian needs to get this. Christ was known to the Old Testament people. Moses, the Bible said in the New Testament, that he bore the reproach of Christ. The Bible said that the gospel of Christ was preached unto Abraham. Don't ever get in your head that those men did not know who they were worshiping, who they were placing their faith in, who had redeemed them. They knew. Your Bible tells you clearly. Don't let people tell you that stuff. Now, but what I want you to see is the pattern of David's life. He said in verse number 2, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies." You connect this. Enemies triumphing if I'm ashamed. Are you listening to me? Do you know why the wicked are triumphing in this country? Because Christian people are ashamed of Jesus and his Bible. When Jesus said, "I don't want you to be ashamed of me," a lot of people go along with that. Well, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed until they bring the Bible and the book into the discussion. David's saying, I don't want my enemies to triumph over me, so I don't want to be, and because of that, I cannot be ashamed of the Lord. In verse number 20, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." Psalms 31, verse 1 through 17. Verse 1 and 17. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in my righteousness." Verse number 17 of that same chapter. "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave." David is understanding the great battle going on, the spiritual warfare. He knows that Satan is going to try to make him ashamed of his Savior and of his God. And if Satan can do that, he'll intimidate him out of the whole cultural picture and the whole discussion. This is what's happened in America. This is why all through the Psalms, you'll see David constantly praying, "God, don't let me be ashamed. God, don't let me be ashamed. God, give me boldness. Lord, help me not to be ashamed of your word." What's happened to Christians in this country is we have become ashamed to be connected to Jesus Christ and his words. This is the big secret. It's easy to say, "Well, I'm not saying to Jesus." Well, what about when he says, "Let the women keep silence in church"? Or what about when he says that sodomy is an abomination? What about when he says that marriage is between a man and woman? Are we ashamed of his word? What about when he says, "I created the male and female"? You see where I'm coming with this? The world says you ought to be ashamed of the Bible. Oh, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And they want to make you ashamed to take the Bible and inject it into the conversation of the culture. Okay, here we go. Psalms 34, verse number 1 through 6. When he changed behavior, boy, he said, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear there and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord, let me exalt his name, let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears." And it goes on through there. And David is over and over talking about the fact that I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. He said, "They looked unto him, were light, and their faces were not ashamed." Psalms 37, verse 16 through 19. "A little the righteous hath, man is better than riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Their inheritance shall be forever." Watch it. "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied." God says, "I'm looking for a people that is not ashamed of me and my words in the evil day." This is why God exalted David. Because David said, "I don't care what I failed. I don't care how bad I've messed up. I'm still not ashamed of my Savior." Hey, if there's ever a time and a reason that you ought to be not ashamed of Jesus, is the fact that he still loved you after you sinned, after you messed up, when you've done what you said you'd never do. He never forsook you. He still loves you. He still forgives you. You ought not ever be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalm chapter 69, verse number 6. He said, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Man alive, there's just so many verses of scripture. I don't know if we got time. Man alive. Let's go to Psalms 119. This longest chapter in the Bible is full of it. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Let's go to verse number 45. "And I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies." Watch this. Watch this. "I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed." This is what you found. This is the secret that our founding fathers had. They were not afraid to bring the Bible into the discussion of government, of the discussion of every aspect of our entire world. They weren't ashamed to say, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says this. In fact, folks, listen, the judicial system that they founded, which if we operated within it would be wonderful, the principles of liberty. This week we had a president say that none of the amendments are absolute. Do you understand? We are looking at a tyrant. We're looking at a tyrant. It's not going to be, might be. We've got it in now. And the reason is because we've been ashamed to take a stand. We've sat back and let other people, and we didn't want to be connected. Oh, don't bring your Bible in here. Don't bring your faith in here. You keep your faith at church house. Don't be preaching at me. And we slunk back like a bunch of sissies. Believed it. And now we wonder what's happened to our land. Verse number 46, I think, 80, verse number 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Why? That I be not ashamed. This is the greatest need I know of right now. If you're a Christian today, God's calling you to never be ashamed of him and his word. If the Bible teaches it, it's right, and I don't have to quiver or shake at nobody. Amen. Psalms 127. Well, did I miss 116? I'm sorry. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, they wage war in vain. And did I get the wrong one there, guys? But anyway, let's go to Psalms 127, verse number 1. Here you go. Talking about, watch this. Man, this is good. I mean, this makes me want to jump the rabbit. Amen. As talking about children, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Do you know why God don't want you to have kids and raise them for God? Because he knows they'll raise up and speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm going to tell you, did you ever walk into a restaurant with 6 or 10 kids? And everybody go. Like you ought to be ashamed. They're the ones that ought to be ashamed. To have that attitude toward kids, but they're not ashamed to kill babies in the womb. Amen. I'll tell you something, don't be ashamed of having a big family. Amen. Yes, sir, amen. God says he'll speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's get on here. Isaiah 50, verse number 6. I gave my back to smiters, my cheek to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Keep that in mind. Let's go to Isaiah 41, verse number 11. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing that strive with thee. They shall perish. Isaiah 45, verse number 24. Verse number 20, surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come that are incensed again, and that are incensed again him shall be ashamed. Here's what God is saying, that if you will take a stand and you'll be strong and courageous and you won't fold up your cars and go home, you won't take your trucks and go home, and you'll not be ashamed of that book, God says you'll make them ashamed. You know who needs to be ashamed? That's the people who believe in evolution. You ought to be ashamed to believe in evolution. You ought to be. Are you kidding me? You believe that stinking stupid lie? You are kidding me. You believe evolution? You ought to be ashamed. But if I walk into a place now and I say, no, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creation. You ought to be that's so stupid. They try to make kids feel ashamed to believe the Bible. And I'm telling you something right now. You know why they really want it? Because they know it's got power. You know why they don't want this book in your school? Because it's got power. It exposes their lies. They don't want this book. So their trick is to intimidate you down. Make you look like you're stupid if you believe him and his word. That's the whole game. All right. Where are we at, guys? Isaiah 54, verse number 4 and 5. Fear thou not. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Now, I'm going to give you something here you ought to get a hold of. I was studying this recently, and I connected these two words all through the Bible. God says when you get ashamed of something, you'll get confounded. That's the truth. If you get ashamed of this Bible, you'll start getting confounded. That means you don't know, you can't articulate, you can't straighten up in your mind what you do believe and why you believe it, and you look foolish. And confounded. And the reason is because you don't have the boldness. You're ashamed of the word. And let's let the Bible speak. You see, it's not necessarily about you articulating. So it's just say, it ain't what I think. It's what the Bible says. This week, a guy commented on one of my posts and said, well, I have tried over and over to dialogue with you people, but you just keep bringing up the Bible. So he said he was going to quit. Help yourself. See, they don't want any dialogue with the Bible. Let me tell you something about this book. I want to ask you a question. Does God lie? No. He said this book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm going to tell you something. And you can try your rubber sword NIVs all you want to. How many ever had one of them rubber swords? You poke something with it and it goes. That's what your NIV will do. But you use this dude on him, buddy. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will do something on the inside of their mind, their heart. It'll witness to the truth of God's word. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. All right, let's keep trucking. I don't need a Joel 2:20. Are we at Joel 2, verse number 26? And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord God. He hath wonders, dealt wonders with you. My people shall never be ashamed. But I want to tell you what I want to do. I want to be a pastor that's not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not going to be a pastor not ashamed of Jesus. I want to pastor a church that's not ashamed of Jesus. I want to pastor a church that's not ashamed of the Word of God. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you go around like some spiritual hot dog and you know, quoting scripture to everybody all the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to act super spiritual and put on a dog. I ain't asked, talking about that. I'm talking about that in your daily life, your daily conversation, situations come up. What does the Lord, what does the Bible say about this? And that's where I'm going to be at on it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Not trying to offend you, but here's what the Bible said. It's my authority. I'm not talking about being a spiritual hot dog now. All right, let's go to Mark 8. Well, we got Mark 8, 38. He said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Luke chapter 9 is the same thing. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. And Paul here. Now, I'm going to tell you about Paul. Oh, Paul been all over the country, killing people. I mean, the Bible literally says that he drug them out of their homes and had them killed. You're talking about a mean dude. Are you listening to me? You're talking about a mean rascal. He's on the road to Damascus. But before that, he had held the clothes of a man named Stephen, whom they had stoned to death. And God stuck a hook of conviction in him. Now, you're not talking about just the average cat running around. This guy was an intellectual. He was in power play position in the nation, everything. And he was adamantly, vehemently, viciously out to kill and destroy Christianity. He is on his road to Damascus, and I'm telling you what, God got a hold of him. And God broke him. And I'm going to tell you something else God did. Watch this. God saved him from going to hell. And Paul knew it. And Paul never forgot that he was on the road to hell as religious as could be, and God intervened in his life and had mercy upon him. And when Paul's been to all these other cities, I could go through the names with him there in the book of Acts. He does these missionary journeys. But then he comes, he said, I want to give the gospel, to Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says this to the Romans, the city of the Caesars. The city where everybody was, you were either free or a slave. Where every second person you met was a slave. Where the chariots pranced down the streets and the glory and the prom and the circumstance and the seat of government and the seat of power. I mean, just to approach Rome, you were approaching human power and glory and majesty in its greatest sense. And Paul said, I want to preach the gospel to that proud, arrogant, human pride people. And he said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you an honest truth today. If God, the Holy Ghost, ever calls you to serve him, and especially in preaching, that's going to have to happen to you. You don't care anymore how many friends you lose. You don't. You hate it, but you don't care if your family forsakes you. You hate it, but it may cost you your work, your business, your livelihood. But you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a reason I'm not going to be ashamed. For it's the power of God to save those that believe. The power of God unto salvation to all them that believe. It'll keep people from going to hell. It'll turn their life around. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you something. Let's go down to Romans 5:5. Oh, I like this. He'd taken you through the sin that he said, and he said, experience hope. Christ is our hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which again, I'm honest with you tonight. I wish more people would come tonight than here this morning. I want to preach tonight on what is the governing principle of your life. It's one of one of the best messages God's ever given me, and I hope I can do it justice. But I am telling you something. It's tied in with this thing right here. The Holy Ghost, the love of God is shed abroad. Let me tell you what it'll do to you. It's not you perking up your chest and saying, bless God, I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus anymore. The love of God constrains us. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost is going to have to come inside your spirit, and it's going to change you to where you care about people, whether they die and go to hell. It's not going to be anymore just about making money and making a living and having fun here and having fun there and living the American life. It's about seeing people saved, God glorified, and people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the love of God constrains you, and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and it takes away the fear and the worry and all the junk that keeps you from being ashamed of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm ready. By the way, you know what happened to him. Romans chapter 6, verse number 21. The Bible said here in 6:21, what fruit had you in then those things which of you are now ashamed? I'm going to tell you right now, you know how true that verse is? You heard that preached this morning. I just told you a while ago that I was ashamed of having long hair. After God saved me, Brother Randy, I look back, don't show the kids those pictures. When God saves you, there's things in the past you'll be ashamed of. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's go to Romans 9, verse 33. Watch this. This is all through the New Testament. As is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. By the way, Christ is a rock of offense. They don't like him. He offends them. Amen. He tells them that they can't save themselves. They're guilty sinners. They're lost and separated from God. They need a Savior and only the blood of Christ, and it offends them. And then he says, whosoever believeth on him, what? I want to ask you this morning, are you ashamed of your Savior and his word? You say, I believe on him, but are you ashamed? The Bible said, whosoever believes on him, not be ashamed. Examine yourself. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you today. Let the word of God talk to you. I don't pick on my daughter. Bless her heart. I love her. She's a good one. Hannah, she's in the hornet's nest up there. And I want to tell you something. Every issue that comes up in those committee meetings, the legislation is not done on the floor. It's done in committee meetings. And then I want to challenge you today. If you want to see what God will do with you, never be ashamed of his word. Bring God's word into the discussion. Say, guys, if we want to know the truth about what this matter here is, here's what the Bible says. I know that's not easy. I know we need grace. That's why you need to pray for those in authority. Because if you think you got pressure on you not to bring the Bible in, let's go to Romans 10, 8 through 11. But what saith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the heart, the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess in the mouth of the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. Watch this. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. How we need in this day and time people who are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And say, you know what? You can laugh, you can scoff, you can do all you want to. But right here is the only real true source of wisdom about any issue there is in the world. And I'm not ashamed of it. Let's go to the next Philippians 1 and verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He understood the eternal perspective. And until you understand the eternal perspective, see, that's what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. All of a sudden, he quit seeing this way, got seeing that way. And when you have that eternal perspective, you say, you know what? There's no reason for me to be ashamed. Oh, my goodness. 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love, a sound mind. Be thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He died for us, shed his blood for us, rose in the grave. Why should we be ashamed to stand for him in our workplaces, in our schools, in our churches, in our families, in our life, in our government, in our nation? Let's tell you what let's do, guys. Let's just go ahead and go on up to verse 15 and 16 if you don't care. He talks about them. Pull back down to verse number 12, actually. For which cause also suffer these things. Now listen to here's an important thing. Paul said, I'm suffering things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed. And am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him that day. Paul said, I'm suffering. I'm hurting. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Go to verse number 15 and 16. Thou, watch this. Watch this carefully. For this thou knowest, all they that are which age you be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Lord, give mercy unto the house of Onesimus. Boy, I tell you, this verse bothers me. I'm telling you, this verse bothers me. He said, all they which are in Asia is turned away from me. But he said, Lord, give mercy to Onesimus. And this is in your Bible. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul sitting in a rat-infested biggest cat's dungeon in Rome, sitting in human sewage. The rest of them said, I don't know Paul. I used to run around with him, but I don't run with him no more. Paul said they all turned away. By the way, if you read the last words of Paul in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. Yes. Let me tell you, the more you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, the less friends you're going to have in this world. That's just the honest truth.
That's right.
And you're not ashamed of his word. Yeah. Now keep those two connected because you can't separate them. God does not separate Christ from his word.
Right.
He says, he's not ashamed of my chain. I'm going to say something, and I don't say this to be smart or anything else. But when Danny Meyer walked into your church, and I'd heard that Danny had resigned his church, take care of Meyer. Danny, let me tell you the biggest thing that you helped me with. I've enjoyed your presence. You've been such a blessing, and I'm telling Meyer, I miss her and what a blessing she's been. But you know what you said when you walked in and said, you know what, we're going to start going to church here. You said to me, Reggie, I'm not ashamed of you and what you stood for. I'm willing to identify with you. That meant the world to me. I've told people about Danny, and I don't care if you like it or not, Danny. I've told people, I said, if you want to know a man that'll stay with you through the fire and the flood and the thickness, who is solid as any man I've ever known in my life, right there he sits. And that's the honest truth. And when he come in, because Danny, you know I've had lots of trouble. You've heard more than I've heard. You've been told all kinds of garbage. And you walked in here and sat down, I'm not afraid to identify myself. It meant the world to this old preacher. You'll never know how God used it to comfort me. It said to me that he is my friend. He hasn't believed everything that's been said. So if you think I treat Danny a little better than some of the rest of you, maybe you'll understand. You say, why do you let him preach? I ain't never let nobody in my life preach up here one Sunday morning of the month. I don't do that lightly. There's a reason I do that, because he's got something in him that people need, and I know it.
Amen.
I'm not trying to pay back. I'm trying to inculcate into this church some Christianity that we need. And that's not being ashamed of the truth.
Amen.
And righteousness in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, or I don't know where we're at. Study show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And you study your Bible so you know what you're talking about. Hebrews chapter 2. Boy, I tell you what, man alive. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. If you're listening to me and you're lost, he tasted death for you. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Watch this. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause? Watch this. He, Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. I'm utterly, utterly, disgustedly sick with church life in America. You have a little problem with somebody and you fly the coop. You ain't got enough love to keep you. Listen, if God leads you somewhere, that's another thing. If they're preaching false doctrine, that's another thing. But if the Holy Spirit's put you somewhere and you need to be there and you let some little offense pull you out of church, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the sick and the sorriest thing. I'll tell you, I've got a Savior. As sorry and low down as I am, as wicked as I am, and you don't know the half of it, He is not ashamed to be called my brother. Amen. Christ is not ashamed to identify Himself with me. How can I be ashamed to identify myself with Him? The thing that will hold you up when everybody's forsaken you or you feel that way is knowing that He is not ashamed to call you His brethren. If I've got Him, He's enough. 1 Peter 4:16 there's they desire a better country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. You didn't do you good to meditate on that all week long. God's not ashamed to be called our God. Other people may be ashamed of you, but He ain't. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:16. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 John 2:28. And now little children abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I'm not ashamed of Christ and His word because of where He came from. He came from the glories of heaven. He came from the throne of God. He is a divine origin. I'm not ashamed of my Lord Jesus Christ and His word. He is galaxies and light years beyond and higher than Marxism, Darwinism, Confucius, and all of the books that's stacked in all the libraries in America today and all the educational classes and courses than you could possibly take. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed because of what it has done in my life. God turned my life and literally saved my life, delivered me from hell, gave me a life worth living, gave me abundant life. I'm not ashamed of my Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done in me. I'm not what I ought to be, but I hope maybe not what I will be someday. I'm not ashamed of Him and His word because of what it's done in America. All the kindness, the hospitals. Can I just tell you something? Atheism never built one hospital. Let me give you something. The evolutionist. Are you listening to me? Atheism has never built one hospital. Evolution has never built the first hospital. Do you know where your hospitals came from? Christian benevolent societies and churches. Yes, sir. Did you know that the Red Crescent only started after they were so embarrassed by themselves in war because they saw the Red Cross helping people? And the Muslims decided that if they didn't get in gear and do something like that, they would have their people taken away from them to Christianity. That's a historical fact. They never started the Red Cross on their own. They started it out of jealousy. They never started the Red Crescent movement out of their own. They started out of jealousy of the Red Cross, a Christian-based movement. All the blessings and the truth that you know about a mother and a dad and a home and a family and children, it came from this precious book, Christ and His Word. Amen. All that we know that's good in this land, the liberty that you and I have enjoyed came from this book. I'm not ashamed of this because of where it goes. It goes into all the world. There's not a nation of people anywhere that this book can't go. Go in all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed because of who is to hear it, and that's everyone. I want to remind you this morning that Moses chose to suffer reproach with the people of God rather than enjoy the sins of for the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what Moses did? Moses woke up one day and said, you know, I've got a choice to make. Am I going to go with the world or am I going to go with God's people? And what enabled him to do that, he was not ashamed of the people of God. He was not ashamed of God and His word. And he said, I'm leaving the possibility or the actual fact of being the king of Egypt. I'm leaving all the wealth, the pleasure, the conveniences, everything, and I'm going to go with the people of God. And the Bible said there's a reason, because he saw the respect unto the reward. He understood that it's beyond this world is where it really happens at. I'm thankful for a man called Elijah. who one day said, gather all the prophets of Baal up here. I'm not ashamed of God. Amen. We'll call on the God, and the true God will answer by fire. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for a poor man by the name of Naboth, who whenever he was tried to be sold out his vineyard to wicked King Ahab and Jezebel, he said, I'm not ashamed of what God has said in his word. He was never to sell that land. I'm thankful for people like Daniel, who wasn't ashamed to pray when he was told not to pray. Let me tell you who changes the world for the better, and that's people who's not ashamed of Christ and his word. I'm glad for people like Mordecai, who wouldn't bow to Haman. I'm glad for people like Esther, who said that she would go in whether it killed her, whether she died or didn't die, she's going to go in and do the right thing. I'm glad for the Hebrew children who weren't ashamed of God, Christ and his word, and who said, we will not bow, and who went into the fire, and there was a fourth man in there with him, the one that they weren't ashamed of. And boy, you talk about true. He wasn't ashamed of them. He said, I'll go right in the fire with you. Let me just tell you something. I've never been in the physical fire, but I've been a lot of spiritual fire. I've been a lot of political fire. And I want to tell you something. God has been with me. He's never left me nor forsook me. I'm telling you, I felt his, sensed his presence. He is real. I want to tell you about a guy in the Bible that you need to get a hold of. His name is old Peter. Walked with the Lord. Christ arrested. He wants to follow the Lord, but he's ashamed. Aren't you one of them? No. Aren't you with Jesus? No. You're a Galilee cuss. I don't know the man. Now listen to me careful right here. Here's a man. Are you listening to me? I believe he's a saved man. I have no reason to believe he wasn't saved. But he was ashamed. When it came to the public arena, he just got through saying down there when it's just him and Jesus and a few disciples, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. I'll die with you. But you see, there's a lot of difference between talking like that in church and going out there and taking a stand. It's easy in here this morning. But when it costs you your job, it costs you your work, it costs you all the things that you dearly want, it's another thing. But let me give you this. On the day of Pentecost, when he had been filled with the Holy Ghost of God, he stood up unashamedly and preached and said, you've slain him with wicked hands. 3,000 people were saved because a man was not ashamed of Jesus Christ and his gospel. I am thankful that Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 2, said that he's not ashamed to be our God. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, who despised the shame, offered himself for our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible said that they told them, you quit preaching in the name of Jesus. Don't you mention his name. And they went back and prayed and said, God grant us boldness, that with all boldness we may preach Christ. I tell you, God sent them and they turned the world upside down. Why? Because they were not ashamed of Jesus Christ and his gospel. I want to talk honestly with you this morning. Has this world intimidated you? Why are we ashamed? Do we want the world's approval and acceptance? Is that why we're ashamed? Do we fear what they'll say about us? Is that why we're ashamed? Do we want their approval? Is that why we're ashamed? And they intimidate us and be ashamed of Jesus and his word. God's word is to be in our mind, our heart, and our soul. It's to be carried into our homes, our work, our business, our churches, our governments. Let me give you a place where parents are almost ashamed right now. The Bible teaches clearly corporal punishment to children. The rod. Is that not true? Over and over it teaches it. Average parent right now is bought into all this junk. Shame to say, well, the Bible says that we are. Only want to mention the Bible. That's how far this thing has gotten. What caused somebody like Paul and Peter and Moses and Noah and Daniel and Elijah? One common denominator of all great godly people in history and in the Bible, they were not ashamed of God and his word. What really needs to happen to us in this nation to cause us to absolutely anywhere under any conditions cause us not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and his word? I want to give you an illustration this morning. I think you'll understand it very easily. What would you think about me if I was someplace, Ty, And somebody said, is that your wife? And I was up in the high and the mighty, in the somewhats. And Karen sensed, watch this, and Karen sensed in me that I was ashamed for her to be my wife. How many of you men would go for it if your wife was ashamed to be seen with you? It would be ashamed of somebody knowing that you're their that you're her husband. You're going to go for that? Is there anybody in this building that would be comfortable and think, you know, there's something really, there's a real, real problem right there in the heart of that person? I'm thinking about old Jerry Clowers told a story one time. He was sitting in class in college, went to college on a football scholarship. He's sitting in class with all of his big buddies. He's sitting in a class that his coach was actually teaching. He said, there's a window in the door that come into the room. And he said, I'm sitting there. And he said, all of a sudden, said this old man in bib overhauls kind of looked in the window. He said, my daddy was not a fancy man. He didn't know English very well. He didn't know verbs from prepositions. He's an old back in the hills boy. He didn't dress very fancy. He looked not very collegiate. Jerry Clowers tells this story. He said, for a moment, I was like, Daddy, don't come in here. And he said, I found myself. I found the wicked flesh nature of my whole life, almost being ashamed that my coach and my ball player buddies would see my hillbilly daddy. Jerry Clowers said, but something welled up in my heart. That's your daddy. Don't you ever be ashamed of your daddy. Instead, I raised my hand up and the coach said, yeah, Jerry. He said, coach, my daddy's right outside that door. I'd like for you all to meet him. Well, he said, bring him in. He said, I went up, opened that door. He said, Dad, come on in and meet all these guys. And he said, my dad, with them old brown broke grand shoes, started shaking everybody's hand. You listen to me. I've never wanted to talk to my dad as bad as I did this morning before church. Now, you can't talk to the dead. To try to do it, sin. But I wanted to talk to him. And I wanted to tell him, Daddy, if I ever acted ashamed of you being my dad, I want to apologize to you. I'm not ashamed of you people. If I see you out this week, you're just as much my brother out there as you are in here. We need to quit being ashamed. I'm not ashamed to stand by the King James Bible. That was what was preached to me. It has sustained me and guided me, raised my family with it, pastored the church for 39 years with it, saw God save people with it. It's time American Christians quit being ashamed. It's killing this nation. None of us would. How do you think I'd feel, Brother Josh, if I walked into where you work and said, well, hello, Brother Josh. And he said, hi, Reggie. Kind of walked off somewhere like he's ashamed. You don't go for that. And I think to my soul, Brother Brandon, how I ought not be ashamed of my Lord Jesus Christ. Now you listen closely. We're going to dismiss. I've preached too long. I say this humbly, I say it honestly. This week, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, the Lord has been dealing with me about something. And I try to obey the Lord. God doesn't speak to me in a voice. He just prompts me by a spirit. But God's dealing with this issue. He said, Reggie, I want to show you how bad a shape this country's in. He said, I want you to put out a post on Facebook that if you agree that the Bible teaches that adultery and fornication and child molesting and fornication and transgenderism and sodomy and same-sex marriage is wrong, and you're in any way connected or employed by the public school system, just put, I agree. You know what? In my heart, my sad heart, I knew there won't hardly be any way to do it, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lady sitting right over here did. She says, teacher, I want you to know something, my respect for you, because I knew you was putting your name on the line. we're in such bad shape right now that our school teachers are afraid to say that sodomy is wrong, that child molestation is wrong publicly. Are you kidding me? We're afraid to say that transgenderism is wrong publicly for fear of what somebody might think or say or lose our job. I just want to commit to you something. If anybody gives you any garbage over that, and you lose your job over that, you've got a job instantly right here at this school. I'll give you a job that day. The thing I'm sorry about this morning is that when I've been ashamed of my Lord. Because I do not want him to be ashamed of me when I stand before God Almighty. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed today. I know that I've preached a long time, but honest to goodness, I've tried to preach what the Lord put on my heart to preach. I think it's a needed message, and I don't know about you, but when I was preparing this message and meditating upon the truth of it, I said, oh God, help me not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help me not to be ashamed of Jesus and his words. I wanted this morning, if there's many of you listening online, many of you right here today, and you'd say, Reggie, I'm a Christian. But I tell you what, having heard the word of God preached this morning, I want to ask God to take the shame out of me. I want to be ashamed of the right things and thankful and courageous about the wrong things, about the things of God. I want God to give me grace and empower me by his Spirit to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words. I'm not asking God to make me some kind of a spiritual bigot running around trying to prove my spirituality to everybody. But I just want to honestly and humbly and boldly never be ashamed of my Lord who hung on a dirty, filthy, wicked cross in shame for me. And when the Lord comes back, Reggie, I don't want him to be ashamed of me because I was ashamed of him and his word. I honestly can't tell you that the person he's talking about there is not saved. I look at Peter's life and I think about it. I don't know. I'll leave that up to God to clarify to you. I just know it's a bad, bad situation when someone who has loved us and given his life for us, who's given us all the good that we know, and we're ashamed of him. I know that that's terrible. If I was to go in some place and I sensed that Karen was ashamed of me being her husband, it'd probably be one of the most hurtful things that ever happened to me. We need an old-time Holy Ghost revival of not being ashamed of Christ and his word. I wonder how many would say with an uplifted hand today, Reggie, I'm asking God to give me an humble but an honest boldness to never be ashamed of my Lord. Would you slip your hand up this morning? Say, God, grant me to not be ashamed of my Lord, no matter where I may be, no matter what I'm doing, no matter the situation. God, help me not to be ashamed. Father, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands across this auditorium, and I'm sure, Lord, online. God, raise us up. Lord, make us bold in Christ. Help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to have a right attitude. And Lord, help us not to be ashamed of you and of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.